Good evening and welcome to Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. This week, we're honored to have a return of Colorado State Senator Sonia Huckus-Lewis, who is also a licensed pharmacist. Senator Huckus-Lewis was a stellar Colorado State representative. She was elected and kind of promoted up into the Colorado State Senate after just one term as a representative. So she has an impressive record of getting legislation passed, working across the aisle, and now is in the Senate doing great work and just finished up quite a session. Lots got passed. Many, many bills were delivered to the governor's desk. Welcome to Outsources, Senator.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it. It was a whirlwind session. We tackled a lot of issues, and I think pretty much every Boulder County legislator is very proud of everything that we achieved and all the issues that we tried to help our constituents with, whether it be cost of living or healthcare or taxes or just numerous work in personal freedoms and guaranteeing that you can live the life that you want to live and love who you want to love. But we still have more work to do.
When you think about some of the things that you passed this year, what kind of stands out to you as either the things you saw as the most important that you had a hand in one way or the other?
Well, I can't think of a better word than amazing and profound as far as my life goes. I can't think of another time where you had a legislator who had a piece of legislation that was tweeted out by the White House. And then I hope we get to talk about them. And then within 2 months, invited to the White House to come and talk about the legislation, a different piece of legislation with elected officials and the president's staff and the vice president. That is like the honor of a lifetime when you've worked on two different bills have been acknowledged by the president of the United States and his staff. I'm still sometimes pinch myself and say, wow, I guess we did some good work this year.
So, that's incredible. Must not happen very often.
You know, the night that the tweet came out, we were still on the floor and it came out late. I want to say like 9 o'clock, which would be 11 or 12 Eastern time. But that was on my and Senator Chris Colker. I always like to give the great work that we were able to do with the Giffords Foundation and the Giffords Group to pass gun violence prevention legislation. We basically passed some of the premier banning of firearm immunity laws and getting rid of that horrible protection that was on the Colorado books. But when the governor signed it, that was tweeted out by the White House because that's something that the President Biden had been committed to earlier in the year. And he was actually requesting states and even Congress, hey, let's get rid of this special protection that the firearm industry has. And in Colorado, we had even more protections for them dating back to the year 2000. Colorado was in the lovely company of Arkansas and Indiana on protective language for firearms. And we were able to get rid of that with Senate Bill 168, which I'm so proud to have worked on. And that was an amazing tweet when that went out. So it's something I will never forget, that's for sure.
And what protections are gone now?
It's a great question. It was a little bit of a technical bill, but I can explain it pretty quickly. Colorado had language that if you felt like you were harmed by someone who either sells guns or someone who is working in the firearms industry, manufacturing them or marketing them, if you were harmed and you tried to take them to court, you would be, not only would you be thrown out of court, you'd be sanctioned. So what happened was the Aurora Theater shooting, a lovely woman, Jessica Gawey Redfield, was murdered in the Aurora Theater shooting, along with Senator Tom Sullivan's son, Alex. And when Jessica's parents, Lonnie and Sandy Phillips, tried to take that manufacturer and that supplier of the munitions to court, they were fined over $200,000, and that put them into bankruptcy. And that is just unconscionable. I mean, how can you not be able to have your day in court? So we got rid of that punitive language. We put in the ability for someone to use the current statutes around consumer protection to be able to go to court. And we also gave special administrative powers to the Colorado Attorney General that if they saw that there was a company that was manufacturing incorrectly or marketing incorrectly and violating consumer protections, that they could go after them. And so then lastly, what it does is it sets a wonderful code of enforcement so that if someone bought a gun under the age of 21, we just passed that law, that they could take that gun company or supplier to court based on what we passed. So it did a whole bunch of things. We even had language in it around regulating and banning ghost guns. We were requested by the governor to take that language out of the bill. And so we did that, and they put it into another bill. So it still got passed. We just did wonderful things with that legislation. And I just give great thanks to former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, because without her help and her staff's help, we couldn't have done it.
And what about the other one where you got invited to the White House?
I'm so pleased. We apparently are the only state in the country that did what's called a shield law, where you can protect patients who want to receive reproductive services, healthcare services, receive abortion care services, at shielding those patients from prosecution from other states, also shielding healthcare professionals from prosecution and being extradited from to other states, and at the same time putting in gender affirming care. That is super important because, as you know, being a member of the LGBTQ community like myself, mm-hmm. we know that our community is under attack, that are using us as political pawns, and especially our transgender loved ones, because they are really have so many bills targeted at them. But this will protect our LGBTQ community for gender affirming care. We put it in the same bill. And I just want to spend just a second thanking Representative Brianna Titone, our first transgender House rep, for her work on that, leadership on that. She was one of the House prime sponsors. And I have to thank Senator Julie Gonzalez. She is truly one of the leading champions in the country on reproductive rights. There was a 6-group coalition that was put together: Planned Parenthood, COBALT, CALOR, that's the Latina Reproductive Rights Group, I believe New Era, and I'm forgetting one, maybe People's Alliance, I think. So we had a tremendous coalition that was put together. We passed Senate Bill 188, if you want to look it up. It was part of our a package of 3 very specific bills to help with reproductive rights, and all 3 bills passed. The package was called the Safe Access to Protected Healthcare. So when I was invited to the White House, they wanted me to speak about the 3 bills, but in particular speak about it as a pharmacist, because we know that 60% of abortions now are medication mm-hmm. abortion, and with the threat of taking away the access to mifepristone and some of the other medication, abortive care therapies, it's super important that we protect them. And last but not least, I just want to spend a second. We have so many people coming into Colorado to receive this care. And one of the things that is happening in Colorado is we started having fake abortion clinics. There's over 50 of them in the state. They do not offer abortion care. They are clinics where they try to convince people not to have an abortion, not to get reproductive health care. And they even offer very dangerous off-label, meaning it's not clinically proven, it's unsafe therapy, giving people progesterone if they have started to take part of an abortive care therapy, and that can be very dangerous. So they wanted me to talk about that as a pharmacist with the other elected officials from around the country, and I was very honored to do that at the White House.
That's so important. And I get so worried about laws getting passed without experts, but actually no science.
Yes.
So I'm very appreciative that we have a pharmacist in Colorado in the legislature, and that it's so important, the task you have in front of you around things like that, where you wouldn't think that was relevant, but suddenly it's huge. And as we know, it's huge for gender affirming care too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, realizing what transgender or transgender loved ones across the country, what they're having to go through to get their life-saving hormones, you know, whether it be testosterone, estrogen, and some of the other therapies that are being used. It's immoral what is happening. We have made Colorado a safe place that you can live the life that you want, and you can express the personal freedoms that you want, and in particular, love who you want. That's super important to us. And we'll do, you know, as long as I'm in, we're going to want to remain, you know, basically very vigilant on anyone trying to take away any of those personal rights. If you don't mind, Karen, I think I'm going to also mention a bill that I think was very important. I know a lot of women have written to me thanking me for working on it. It's the intimate consent bill. So we had that bill is House Bill 1077 with Representative Wilford and Senator Faith Winter. There was a situation where patients would be on the surgery table, and at the same time, medical students coming in or other students that were training were performing, you know, basically pelvic exams and other intimate exams without consent. As a woman and as a healthcare professional who has been through healthcare training, and I realize how hard it is when you're training as a healthcare professional and your professor says, oh, no, it's okay, do it. In fact, you have to do it. It's the only way you're going to be trained. The position that put our trainees, our healthcare professionals that were trying to get the proper training, that puts them in a very, in a just a bad situation. And so we wanted to do something about that. So, you know, consent matters. It doesn't matter who you are, who you love. Consent matters on any kind of exam. So we wanted to send that message. And so that bill was passed and signed, and we're very happy about that.
If you're just joining us, I'm Karen Rayforth, and I'm interviewing Colorado State Senator Sonia Hakus-Lewis. One of the things that wasn't a bill that got passed was 303 Creative, compliments the Supreme Court of the United States. And it was, again, a Colorado case about getting an opinion from the court rather than a crime had been committed. Are there things that maybe, as co-chair of the LGBTQ Legislative Caucus, you all are thinking about for next year, for anything that can be done here in Colorado? It was a federal decision, but
yeah, I mean, obviously I'm outraged. The woman who owns that company was used, and then really Justice Gorsuch should be ashamed, should have done his research, should have realized that there was nothing about the Colorado law that was stopping her from doing her work. It was absolutely absurd. It was a created case just to have a win for conservatives and, you know, the far right religious groups over LGBTQ community. Again, another political message for the Republican Party, and the fact that the Supreme Court is now a partisan body and now poisoning personal freedoms and personal right in our country. And when I talk about it, I tell everyone, you really have to pay attention now in all races, school board races, city council races. Last year, when we were talking about the election, we said, please vote thinking about personal freedoms like your reproductive rights and your healthcare rights. Now, for this coming year, I'm going to ask everyone to please think about, is this the Supreme Court that we want in the United States? Because we can do something about it. Next year is a federal election year. We can vote in every race. do you want to support this Supreme Court, or do you want to get back to where we can all live the lives that we want to live and not be told what to do with our bodies and who we can love, and that if you have a religion, that is going to trump your personal freedoms as to be LGBTQ or to be whatever. I mean, that, so all of that is telling me that for next year's session in Colorado, we need to look at protections for same-sex marriage, because it's still in our Colorado Constitution that marriage is between a man and a woman. And if the Supreme Court can take away our ability to walk into a public company and ask for services and be turned away because we are LGBTQ, then I think that we have to protect same-sex marriage, because they are going to continue to rule against us. And so if we do not fix that in our Colorado Constitution, we could lose that right. I think there's many people that are going to be looking at the Supreme Court and their rulings, and what can we do to fix that in Colorado? So those are the kind of bills I think you'll see because of this Supreme Court session.
Let me shift gears for a moment. And you have been so good at really getting things done. I know you have a long history that goes way back in politics, and I wonder if you might just share a little of your history with our listeners of the young Sonia.
And, oh, gosh. You know,
how do people get all the way to being a state rep, a state senator, from where?
Yeah, where does that come from? My mom is really my inspiration. She's the first statewide Latina official back in North Carolina. She always encouraged us to give back. We were always encouraged because of what we were given from a mom and a dad who really taught us to think about community service and volunteerism. Politics for me is kind of a weird word, because I came at social justice, really. I started out with, you know, working on women's rights. I worked, this is dating myself, but I don't mind. I worked trying to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. Mm-hmm. So anything that was trying to have equality, get rid of social injustice, anything that would help us all be able to live the opportunity and improve ourselves and get the education that we wanted. I've always done that for my whole life. So I agree with you there. I never really was sure that politics was the place to do it, or to running for office. I need to clarify that running for office was the place to do it. But I was encouraged to do it from a pretty early age, just because I would speak my mind and I would stand up for things. I'm the first woman to ever run for student body president at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, which is a huge school. Uh-huh. It's still hard to believe that I was the first woman to ever run. I couldn't believe it when I ran back in the late 70s. They weren't pride marches then. We were protest marching. Give us our rights after a gay man had been murdered. You know, that I just wasn't afraid to do that. In fact, I was thinking about this the other day. I've participated in the gay games a lot. It's a wonderful, wonderful sporting event internationally. And in 1982, Tom Waddell, who was an Olympian, founded the gay games. I heard this was happening. So in 1982, I did a Dyke Olympics, we called it, you know, where we could. And there was hundreds of women came in from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, to participate in this Dyke Olympics. And I organized the whole thing. I think I just never thought that no one ever, if someone told me no, I always felt like that was a suggestion, you know, I'm going to keep going. Uh-huh. So, and I think that's kind of how I lived my life. Everything from being a drummer, and my first music teacher said, girls can't be drummers. Oh, no, I think I can be a drummer. You know, I'm just not going to learn it from you. So I don't know. I just credit my parents for that wonderful, wonderful self-esteem that they gave us. And I'm so glad that I can use that energy and experience and life experience and who I am, being a Latina, being a lesbian, being a pharmacist, everything that I am, and take that to the Colorado Senate. I just think it's great.
Sounds like you have a very positive mindset, you know, that when you get no, that you try to think of another way to get to where you need to go. And that's probably very helpful in the Senate and the House.
It's true. The art of compromise is a great skill to have.
Yeah, I think that's critical when we think of all the polarization going on right now, that you've got to figure out where some common ground is and get there.
I would agree with that. And it even goes back to in the late 80s, I studied to be a dispute resolution mediation counselor. And that teaches you wonderful mm-hmm. listening skills and finding that common ground, as you put it. You know, this is what you need and this is what I need. Can we figure out how to get those things together? And that we do that in the Capitol as much as we can. You know, we try to figure out a way to make it happen.
Well, I think it's important for listeners to know, like, how do people get in some of these positions sometimes? And, you know, what drives you and what keeps you going too? Because I think it's difficult to put yourself out in the public right now. A lot of people are attacked mm-hmm. for so many reasons, verbally or otherwise, for trying to do good things for the community. So it's so important, I think, for us to all think about those things.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's definitely changes your life. Your life is not your own anymore. Even though we have session from January into May, this is a full-time job. You know, today I was working on a constituent case around OSHA. Yesterday I was working on a passport issue, and we don't even handle those, but we're trying to help our constituent. You know, obviously during COVID, that was one of the greatest challenges ever, working on that. My days were 14-hour days during COVID because people were losing their jobs and being thrown out of their homes and not getting paid. And so it's definitely a full-time job. And I realize that term limits are helpful because that allows regular citizens to take some time away from their whatever they do ordinarily. And it definitely takes time away from your family. Mm-hmm. But at least you have an end in sight, because you do have a term limit. So
right.
I wish we didn't have to lose all that institutional knowledge, though, because I feel like I know what I'm doing now. I'm up for re-election next year, and my gosh, then next thing you know, I'll be finished. You know, it happens quick, but you just make the most of the time when you're there.
Yeah, that's the good and the bad of term limits. You get new blood in. The bad is a lot of people don't know what the heck's going on.
It takes
a lot of the time.
It's so true. It takes a good 2 years to really learn. And we were interrupted by COVID. So I felt like, mm-hmm. you know, I really had to study as hard as I could about issues. And I'm not a lawyer. So, you know, we rely on team. And I will say, our Boulder County delegation is incredible. We have some of the best expertise in the legislature. And now hopefully Weld County, I've been redistricted, so I have part of Weld County now. So I'm hoping that people realize that it's good to have a different skill sets. I think we bring a variety of our life experiences to help guide us in our legislation and our policy making. And I think that's a good thing.
And I think that's the positive way of looking at what happens to you in redistricting, where suddenly your constituents are taken away from you and you're given new ones. Some are gone and some are new. And it's kind of a crazy thing that happens in the middle of your work.
Let me mention one other bill that I'm really proud of and working, talk about Boulder County delegation. It's Representative Karen McCormick. You know, she comes at being a House rep. She's the mother of, I think, two LGBTQ folk. Mm-hmm. And she realized some of the hardship that goes on just in using public restrooms. And so we were able to pass House Bill 1057, which is going to allow Colorado to have more all gender restrooms in public facilities. But as we got into the bill, we found more and more folks that were going to benefit from that bill. So we had one of my peers, a senator, said, you know, I was taking care of my son in the first years of his life. I couldn't find a bathroom I could go into to change his diaper. And then we found other folks that when you're a senior citizen and you have a caregiver who is, you know, can't go into that bathroom with you, that creates an issue. Mm-hmm. So having more all gender bathrooms is just really the right way to go. And we passed this bill that is going to require that in some of our new buildings and some of our when other buildings are being transformed or upgraded or remodeled. So I think that's really going to, again, help people feel more comfortable and not have to worry about who they are. I'm really thankful to my colleagues that helped on that bill, especially Rep. McCormick.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people don't realize how many other people are going to benefit. This isn't just a thing for the trans community. Any father or mother who needs to bring their opposite gender child or relative or friend needs help in the bathroom. It's crazy that we have segregated bathrooms anyway.
Yeah, no, it is crazy. And, you know, I mean, again, I love bringing up pieces of legislation where someone else also benefits from maybe the original folks that we were hoping to help. We just passed a immigration rights bill again this session. I was really proud of the first one I did, and now this one, House Bill 1100. There are two counties that were really profiling immigrants and then holding them. They would pull them over for a traffic violation or something about their vehicle, and then they would hold them for ICE to pick them up and hold them just for, you know, away from their families or taking them away from their families. Well, if you've got law enforcement that's targeting folks like that, what else is going on? We want law enforcement helping folks and solving crime and not profiling people. And so I think there's going to be some interesting changes, I hope, from that law. And we certainly will have undocumented residents in Colorado not be fearful, you know, to go to the grocery store or to earn a living, you know. And so that was one thing that was important from that piece of legislation also. Mm-hmm. And as a Latina, really felt proud to be able to carry that and work with our Latina community in Colorado.
I'm sad to say that we're out of time. You've been listening to Senator Sonia Hakus-Lewis. Thank you for joining us this evening again.
Well, thank you so much, Karen, and thank you to the KGNU listeners. You can always contact me anytime, Senator Sonia, SD17@gmail.com. Happy to answer questions. Even if you aren't my constituent, reach out. I love it. So thank you for having me on the show, Karen.
You can listen to Outsources every Monday evening from 6:30 to 7 on KGNU. You can stream us. You can catch us on our podcasts on that new app. You can catch us on news.kgnu.org/outsources or search the archives at kgnu.org for any of our past shows. This is your host, Karen Rayforth. Good evening.